This is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
That was a great game last night, huh?
Did you stay up?
No, unfortunately, I was. I'm a early to bed and early to rise kind of guy.
Late to bed, early to rise, and there's nowhere other place I'd rather be than sitting right here talking to you.
Great.
Was that the goofball from Panama City? We had a goofy call. Some goofball from Florida said the Hawks didn't play with any intensity the other night.
Oh, like, gosh.
Okay, you need to really put the bong down. Jeez. Welcome back, Cap'n Haw, a Comcast Sportsnet and WGN.
That was late night, though. Did you stand up for the entire overtime?
Yes, I did.
You do that at home?
Ask Garrett. He's like, you're going to sit down?
That's the oddest thing.
Never even sat down between periods.
Why? Were you on a treadmill?
No.
You were just watching it standing up.
Me, Sparky, and Garrett were watching the game. Mindy was watching upstairs, but I think she might have dozed off a little. I was pacing my family room around the coffee table.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be extremely annoying to watch a hockey game with you.
No question. And then most of the time I'm standing there like this, just off to the my right of the TV, of the big screen TV, and I'm like this. Oh!
Like the puck is coming at you and you're ducking
behind it?
Pretty much.
Every time it's in our end, I'm yelling, chip it out! Just go. I know I'm nuts. I'm okay with that.
It was strange to be there and unfortunate because you go down there in the third period so you don't miss. The post game happens fast. They open up the room.
So where do you watch the end of the game?
From the press room. It depends, but usually the press room.
Because I was with you, we weren't working together back then, in 13 when they beat Boston. And we were all, because the elevators at TD Garden were awful, remember? So we went down like...
We're in the press room.
5 minutes into the third period, there's a stop and play.
Yeah.
Everyone's watching on a big screen, like right by the locker rooms there, hallway.
Right.
That's where we watched it.
That's unfortunately what the reality of covering an event like that. So you're in the right position. You don't want to miss something that happens in the dressing room after the game. You're there not to, you know, you're going to see what everybody sees. And you can see things, you know, your vantage point. You're there because you have a credential. All right. So you've got to be in the dressing room. You've got to get that. So you're at the mercy of logistics. And so you're in the press room, and you think you're there for the last few minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. Well, you watched basically three overtimes, the equivalent of one full game from the press room.
Right.
That was not the ideal way to watch a hockey game. And, you know, you just don't want to be there, but you're in the right position when they do open the dressing room. It was a deadline killer, obviously. You know?
I had neighbors texting me during the game. Okay, I'm standing. I'm going to buy into this. My buddy Al, I'm standing up, texted me when I had to thank goodness
Where do you
I
live?
Could
sit down. Looney Town.
That's it.
Why would you stand?
I didn't know we had homes on Mars yet. I didn't know that.
If I had sat down and listened to you two and the Hawks hadn't scored and the Ducks had, I would have
jumped. No, it has no effect. You live in a land with no furniture. I mean, why would you stand and watch a game unless you didn't have a couch or a chair?
I stood right in front of the couch.
Or something. The
once,
floor.
Sit once on the that floor. Puck hit the ice to start overtime one, I was standing and I never sat down.
So you're cramping up too. All right,
Pretty much.
Get to the phones.
Let's go to the phones.
Thanks again for the win, Cap.
You're welcome. Chicago owes me a debt of gratitude. Glenn in North Riverside. Hey, Glenn.
Hi. Enjoy your show, but my question deals with the game the other night. Uh-huh. The Hawks had a 5-3 advantage on the power play. And it seemed like during that time, they only wound up with only one or two shots on goal. Mm-hmm. It would seem that a team would want to pound the puck down on the goalie multiple times. Is there a reason that didn't happen?
I asked that question to Mike Milbury yesterday.
Yeah.
I asked. They said in a 5-on-3, it is not get the puck to the net. It is you make the perfect pass.
The angle.
The angle. You continue to pass till you get the angle for the shot. And they got two magnificent shots that were stopped.
And it's a good point because Joe Quenneville always likes to say that the team that tends to come out on top of the 5-on-3 situations wins the game.
And it didn't happen this time.
Yeah, good question. But I think that what you saw during that sequence, which they also included a short period of power play time, man advantage, for the Blackhawks. They're too cute. It's been a season-long issue. It's been a chronic issue for the last several years when the Hawks struggle with the power play. Thanks for making the phone call.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Glenn.
The reason is that they fall in love with the pass. There's too many passes, and they aren't
making
enough
shots.
In a normal
power play, but not a 5-on-3.
Right, right. But I think that it carried over. I mean, they obviously were making one too many passes. So
there you go.
Didn't hurt them.
Don in McHenry. Hey, Don, what's going on there, you duck?
Hi, Don.
How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I was just wondering, I haven't heard this talked about before, but I would think that the Ducks probably would be a little more tired than the Blackhawks and say probably per man way more than the Hawks and would have more weight to carry around during the game. And
well, they're younger. They got a younger group. So I don't know if
that's true. Yes.
So that they might feel it better. They're the one doing the hitting rather than being the receiver.
Maybe.
I think both teams are equally tired, and both teams are just going to go out and be pros.
Yeah, Don, thanks for the phone call. But I'll tell you what, Steve Conroy made a good point. When you lose, you don't feel quite as recharged and re-energized as a team that won. And when you lose, that 116 minutes and 12 seconds of hockey feels like it was even longer.
Yeah.
Because you lost.
It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Like, come on, really? Hey, by the way, we got a good text. Says, hey, Cap, when you're standing, did you start browning the ground turkey and cooking egg whites during
overtime?
What?
I'm never going to live that down.
No, you're not, but you get what you asked for. You get what you asked for.
Brutal.
If you invite the world into seeing what you did to your house, then you are going to deal with the world reacting to it.
So get this. I said to Cochran, what's the first time this has ever happened? My wife goes, no, it's not. Some firefighter calls Cochran off the air and goes, absolutely, it was not the first time because he was cooking buffalo and I went to his house a few months ago.
Did that happen?
Yeah, last summer.
Really? You got a little thing with fire?
No.
David Kaplan.
I set the smoke detector off and now the alarm system went off.
I tell you what, this is going to keep you from the Food Network show you're clearly auditioning for.
Oh, my.
How about when I gave out the passcode?
I think, actually, you're going – yeah, that's not good either.
I changed it,
I hope you changed that, yeah.
Yes.
I know it didn't work. I heard from the guy who had to go over there to check it last night.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just bucking for a guest shot, extra shot in Chicago Fire.
That's it.
Now, that would be cool.
That'd be cool.
I would like to be in that.
They should
so if you can arrange that, we should do that.
Put me on Chicago Fire and have me start a fire
put
while
us.
Cooking.
Forget you. Okay, it's all about us. Let's do that. Let's be like,
done.
We can be the backdrop of Chicago Fire segment. Like, they're big sports fans there. Let's have a guest.
So
like,
here's how we write the little scene.
How do we do it?
I'm cooking the egg whites and the turkey. It gets on fire. You come running in with an extinguisher.
It's something like
but
that.
But they've already hit like the curtains. You're trying to put it out. Now here comes Chicago
and
Fire.
And CSN could turn that into one of those clever promos. And,
no
you
question.
Know, and we could make that happen.
Jeff, code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
So ridiculous. By the way, some guy on Twitter is mad at you and I.
Oh, boy.
He just came in yesterday.
Just one?
Because
block!
Remember the promo we did where I'm, this is an official United Center cutting board from the floor Michael Jordan played on. Remember that promo?
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
That was early. That was
and
an early
he's
morning.
Like, where can I get one of those? And I said, it's a promo, dude. It doesn't exist. You lied. He was furious. Furious.
Well, everything you see on TV is the truth.
Danny and Berwyn. Daniel.
Gap and Ha. Glad to hear you guys.
What's up there, Sparky?
Hey, question. I wanted to know what your opinion. I mean, Kaner was the guy for the series last time. He was the one standout player that stood up and, you know, and took the team home. Now, who do you think? I don't see one anywhere in these last two games. You know, Keith made a shot. You know, Kruger's in there. You know, who do you think? You know, and I want your guys' honest opinion. Who do you think is going to be standout player in the rest of this series? Who's going to bring us home? Who's going to bring home the bacon? And, you know, and who's going to do it the rest of the way for us? Because I just, you know, I know we got a lot of stars, but some of them are just, they seem to be just, you know, not. I mean, Hossa, I'm waiting for Hossa. Hossa's going to fire it up.
He scored.
I know he's going to fire it up.
He scored a goal. He had the little
he scored
the backdoor
I mean,
goal
like, you know yeah like, but I'm looking for a guy like Kaner you know I'm who's going to be
yeah, I know what you mean guy. Danny I know what you're saying it's a very good question it's a very good point you're anxious thanks for the phone call you want the Hawk stars to behave like they did in the first two series you want the Hawk stars to be the stars and carry this team like Patrick Sharp and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane did against Nashville and against Minnesota. It's been two games. The fact that they are even up with the best team in the West during the regular season, they're coming home, and they have home ice advantage, and their stars haven't played like stars, that should be encouraging more than discouraging.
And you get the last change now the next two games.
The all-important last change.
There you go. 312-235-2525. We also have breaking news. ABC News is reporting, as is ESPN and NBC, Ray Rice has had his domestic violence charges dropped because he completed his pretrial intervention program.
Well, that's probably a better way to better way to put it.
No,
he completed.
Ray Rice will have all domestic violence charges dropped. Has completed the pretrial intervention program.
Okay, that does not erase the video or the image. Indelibly made into my head in the head of every NFL fan when they see him smacking his wife around.
Correct.
Sorry, it's hard to.
The case will be dismissed.
Undo that, so you can't really expunge that from anybody's memory.
And on a lighter note, Steph Curry's adorable daughter was up in front, and some of the journalists in the country have a problem with that.
When you pick on journalists, and I love it when you paint with such a broad, Kaplan-esque brush.
I didn't pick on you.
It must be easy to paint your house because the brushes are so broad.
It's they are.
Okay, second coat. We're done. Call the firemen.
Great. We'll get into that right after this.
It's Cap and Haw.
I'm going to actually make it a requirement for Steph to bring Riley every single press conference. That was the most entertaining press conference ever. I'm sure you guys were more entertained than by Riley than by whatever Steph was talking about. I'm guessing.
There's actually some criticism today on Twitter and from general people for whatever reason. How do you process that? That people would actually
criticism for what?
I actually don't know. That's the thing. You know, people actually saying that you shouldn't have done it or whatever. How would you?
Why?
I'm sure.
They were outraged. She was a little too cute. So you should probably do something about
that. Find another daughter?
Steve Kerr and Stephen Curry. The other night after the 110-106 win in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals in the NBA playoffs, Stephen Curry took his gorgeous two-year-old daughter up on the podium when he did his media responsibilities, and she stole the show. And everybody's talking about it, and there are some people, journalists and other, there are fans that think that the child has no place at the post-game press conference. You heard the exchange there.
Yeah, I think
welcome back to Cap'n Hawk.
Derrick Rose did the same thing last week with his son, PJ, who was wearing a Cub jersey, which I thought was probably the most surprising thing about
that.
Sure,
the owner of the Bulls, the White Sox, loved it.
Jerry Reinsdorf, I'm sure, was thrilled. I saw the Steph Curry thing. I think everybody who has a Twitter account saw it. His daughter is adorable. She is cute. Look, I understand from a professional standpoint why people would object. Let me get all the way through here.
I'm not going to say a word.
I understand from a professional standpoint when you're there to do your job, if you're, you know, whether it's a deadline situation, whatever, and you're asking questions, you want the focus on the answers. You don't want the person you're asking a question to be distracted.
Yeah, the cap brush down.
Yeah, good. So I can see where people might think that could lead to an unprofessional exchange or not what they would want in a work environment. I understand that. And I would think that the people that have complained about it, that's what the complaint is rooted in. You want to have nothing but Steph Curry's undivided attention when he's answering a question why he did what he did, right? That said, I think we get a little, you know, sometimes take ourselves a little too seriously in this business. I think we can get a little bit self-righteous. I think that we can get a little bit carried away. And there are times when, you know, I think that, look, the Warriors weren't eliminated. From what I understand, it wasn't a tense post-game setting. It wasn't like they're grilling him on why were you 3 of 23 and why did you just blow a 3-1 lead in the series? And no, if Doc, if somebody, a Clipper, the other day after blowing game 7 and coming, you know, to a press conference after you had lost 3 in a row and you're using your child sort of as a human shield, right? Don't ask me tough questions because I have this cute and cuddly offspring that isn't she adorable, right? I think context is everything, and that might have been different. But in this case, I did not have a problem with it watching it. I don't know that I would have had a problem with it covering it. So go ahead.
Shocked.
You're shocked.
I am.
See, don't paint with a broad brush. I think every situation is different. But if Chris Paul, for instance,
okay,
as classy as they come, would have brought a child to a post-game press conference after game 7 and he had some tough questions to answer, and during when if I had asked Chris Paul, you know, what this says about this team's mental, you know, preparation and what this says about potentially having to change coaches, and he would have said, you know, when he was answering, his kid would have been like, daddy, talk quieter. You're too loud. Or daddy. Okay. Then you have an issue.
Okay. If Chris,
right?
Okay. So
right?
Here's
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Here's my take on it. If Chris Paul, after that collapse, had been sitting there and he's got his little kid on his lap and he's like, hang on there, you know, whatever his kid's name is, Billy, hang on. Look, we gagged. We choked. We're going to have to look inside. But it gives you a great answer. Mm-hmm. I got no problem if the kid's sitting there. But when Dusty Baker brought Darren Baker up there with him, and I love Dusty, he deflected really tough questions in the 04 season.
Because he had a son with him.
Because he had Darren, and he would give you a much shorter answer. Uh-huh, Darren, they're playing with the little cars and all
yeah.
that. That's different than Stephen Curry sitting there or Derrick Rose or even Chris Paul if they answer the question.
Well, we agree with that. We agree on that because I think it's all about the context and the execution of that, you know, is still a work environment. And let's be totally honest here. I mean, if the subject wants to bring their child into the onto the platform or the dais or whatever you want to call it and whatever the situation is, and you want to monitor and police that, Cap, then as a media, as a sports media, as a public relations arm of whatever team that you're representing, you've got to do a better job of policing the people asking the questions.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because it's a clown show sometimes.
It is.
It's a clown show. And I'm part of that clown show, and I'm sitting there, and let me tell you, everybody who's credentialed to be asking these serious questions, which we want to control and sanitize that environment, shouldn't be there.
Well,
shouldn't be there.
Okay.
And that's not said with any sort of intellectual snobbery or, boy, I'm from the Chicago Tribune. There are a lot of people in there that are just fans. And fans, I'm sorry, do not belong at post-game press conferences either.
I've covered a lot of locker rooms. You've covered more because that's your gig. But I've covered plenty of them. Would you agree that if you walked into the Cubs locker room on a random Wednesday,
I would tell you to remove the Chris Bryant jersey.
Correct. At like 10 o'clock. And you said to Travis Wood, hey, man, you got a few minutes? You're not as – what's the right way to put this? You don't give – you just – it. You'll just have a back and forth with him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a press room at the NBA Western Conference semifinals on live television, you are way more locked in on the one question you're probably going to get to
ask. He's got one shot.
You got one shot.
Yeah.
It's not – you know, just a little
it's
BS.
It's not conversational.
It is not.
No.
It is, Travis, why did you throw the fastball there when the guy had hit
right.
the first two of them out of the ballpark?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, take yourself back. It wasn't that long ago. It was a week ago tonight, Cap. It's Thursday night. The Bulls are eliminated by the Cavaliers. It was an awful, awful post game for the Bulls. It was the end of their season.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Thibodeau doesn't have children, but if he did – and he brought somebody up to the podium with him under those circumstances, and you're asking him to ponder his future with the Bulls. And as you said, he's distracted by the presence of a child playing in front of him. Then I think that's a different equation.
Right.
It's a different discussion.
Tom, what's your thoughts about, you know, the rumors that you won't be back next year? And he's like, hang on a second. Here, Billy, play with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I don't want to talk
and,
about
and you're
that.
Sitting there you're sitting there in the press room setting, and you got one shot. And you got one question.
And
the
completely
microphone comes
blows
to you,
it off. Yeah.
And you ask
David
a question.
Kaplan,
yeah.
Comcast, Sportsnet, WGN
like,
Radio.
Well, yeah, Johnny, okay. And, well,
yeah,
I haven't really
about
thought
that.
About it much. I'm
next.
Gonna get to that next.
You're like,
hey, let
shot.
Me do my job. Right. Let me do my job. You can, you know, father son time later, right? I mean, that sounds insensitive, but in that context, that's a different discussion.
Agreed.
What I saw with Steph Curry, I didn't have that same reaction. What I saw with Derrick Rose when he did that, because wasn't that right after a positive game? Or
that was after he hit the game winner that he banked.
Was it after the game winner?
Yeah.
Or was it after LeBron's game winner?
It was game 3, I believe.
Either way, it wasn't the end of the world type of a mentality.
Correct.
It wasn't like, okay, so I haven't had an issue with these. I
oh, it
do,
was after the LeBron one.
I will say this, Cap. Even though this what we just said is all valid. I would hope that this doesn't become a trend in the NBA where guys tend to be copycat league in the way they dress and the way they perform. Remember when Kevin Durant started wearing those fake glasses and then everybody's wearing those fake glasses?
Yeah, with no lenses.
Well, I know. I hope that this doesn't become a thing.
Right.
Because
I gotta bring my kid.
Like, well, how many wives are saying, you know, or are saying, well, why don't you take up Junior next to you
right
on the podium? Why
I just
aren't you
bought
doing
him a
that
nice new outfit? Put him up.
Look
there.
How cute he or she is. You know.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't become a thing.
Right.
I gotta go back to something. I can't picture Thibs with a small child. You pictured Riley Curry was doing, going underneath the table. What are you doing? Hey, do your job. Sit down.
Maybe not.
Exactly.
Him and small children.
Here's your toy.
Pass.
Now maybe, do your job.
Maybe not.
No
maybe
shot.
Not. People are multifaceted.
Bob,
you never know.
Bob Mirko on Twitter says, boys, John Lester had his son at his first Cubs press conference, and he was well behaved because John told him to behave. Did he have his kid?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. It wasn't for the whole thing, though, because I think
he gave him to his wife.
I think his wife came up and took him away. But he did. He was there. It was at the name of the restaurant's escaping me, but I remember being there and seeing that and noting that, you know, hey, look, these guys have a lot of time away from their families. If they want to share and celebrate some of the moments with them, I think you have to take that into consideration as well.
Mark Lazarus just tweeting, this morning skate is looking awfully optional. Doesn't sound like there's a lot of guys there.
Not for Laz.
Well, Laz is there, and he'll be with us with you and me with Chris Cook tonight on Sports Talk
Live. I'm
going to
bring my
United
son,
Center.
Though. You don't mind that, do you?
No.
Got a fourth chair?
Yeah. I'm going to bring Brett.
He's 14, so
Brett,
he won't be sitting on my lap.
Brett just turned 21. I'm going to bring him
all
up.
All right. That'd be fun.
Me,
fathers okay? and sons.
Absolutely. 312-235-2525, and also Rich Volk on Twitter. Sorry to interrupt, guys, but can you please provide Catman a clinic on the proper procedure for extinguishing a kitchen fire? Go Cubs. Nice. Between this show, Sports Talk Live, Cubs pre and post on Comcast, which I'll have tonight, late into the night. I'm working a lot of hours, but for the few hours I get to rest, it's important for me to get deep, restful sleep. And you know what that means? One of these bad boys right here. It's called a MyPillow. MyPillow. Absolutely phenomenal. First night you sleep on one, you'll understand why they've sold over 5 million of them. Three-piece interlocking fill conforms to your preferred shape. Four different support levels that guarantee the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. MyPillow has a cooling effect, keeps your head cool throughout the night. MyPillow is so confident you'll love them, they'll give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, and they'll refund 100% of the purchase price. Trust me, you'll love your new MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code CAP, K-A-P, 50% off, or call 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com or 800-299-5854. Promo code CAP, 50% off. Timeout. We'll be right back on Cap and Hall.
It's Cap and Haw.
That ball hit way back. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. A bomb off the bat of Adam Eaton. And it's 1-0 Sox. Mercy, that ball was killed.
Oh, it's a power surge. You know, on a lighter note, I feel like I had a child because everyone's like texting me congratulating me. Congratulations. It's like Abreu hits two in a week and no one bats an eye, but I hit one. And it's like I said, I have a child and, you know, I should have a shower, home run shower and everything. You know, it's fun to do that every now and again.
Adam Eaton after that call by Ken Hawk Harrelson on Comcast Sportsnet. An A-bomb from Adam Eaton.
What does one bring to a home run shower? What games do they play at home run showers?
A gift card. You bring a gift
card?
Card?
That's gift right. Card. That fits all.
312-235-2525. 312-235-2525 is the phone number.
And last night, though, watching the White Sox, it just looked cold. I mean, what crazy conditions to play on May 20th?
Did not look like it would be comfortable.
They lose a one-run game, fall below 500 again, although they have been playing better. I'm interested to see how John Danks responds. He's been pretty good lately.
Mm-hmm.
And
much better.
That would be a welcome sign for the White Sox if that continues. Carlos Rodon showing some odd, unexpected control issues. And I think that's the biggest curiosity surrounding his kind of early returns on joining the starting rotation. Still think it's a good idea, but you don't know whether to attribute it to just inexperience, nerves, our hitters being more patient with him. But he is not a guy that has had a lot of control problems coming up.
No, but it's just a lack of seasoning. You know, it's just going to take time. And let's not forget, while the Indians' record is no good, they were the pick of Sports Illustrated to win the World Series.
Yeah.
They've got some talent.
They do. Are the Sox going to wear those 83 unis all the time? No.
I love them.
I do too, but can you overdo a good thing? It's not 1983. I know.
If you told me you were still on a winning streak, David Letterman, I get it.
No letter longer on the air either. I mean, I know he was in 83, but that's a long time ago. Long time ago.
Right.
It's
like a throwback
but
thing,
if you
not
use
an everyday
them too
thing.
Much, you kind of destroy the novelty of when you do wear
now,
them.
Now, if you had told me they had won 8 in a row now,
yeah.
You'd keep wearing them.
Yeah, of course.
Different.
It's different. Yeah, it's like the lucky tie or something.
Right.
Or socks. Well, not socks.
Well, you don't
you
shower.
You probably have
after,
lucky socks.
After a good column, you don't shower. That's you keep right. going until you have a bad column.
That's the smell in here.
Until I walk in
roll.
And go, what did you write? Oh, I better shower today.
Yeah, exactly.
312-235-2525 is our phone number. Again, Sox and Indians tonight to close out that series.
Abreu,
by
wanna...
the way, you were out of town?
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, you're a Sox fan. How good is Corey Kluber? We know. I know Chris Sale's great because we see him all the time.
He matched him.
What are you looking at?
What'd you do to your hand? We have to call somebody another domestic accident here?
I got ink all over
you. Got ink all over you. Don't wipe your face.
He's got the fire department on standby, so.
Don't wipe your face. I'd hate to have to call a dermatologist in the middle of
Natalie
the show.
Kozier just tweeted, the only thing surprising about Cap's fire at the house is that the passcode wasn't Chris Bryant or Chris Bryant Rocks.
I thought that, too. I thought not having a Cub-related password was maybe the biggest. That qualifies under your definition of breaking news.
Unbelievable. Well,
anyway, back to baseball. Yeah, Kluber's. Well, yeah, of course.
Holy shit.
I
knew
Cy
he
Young,
was good and he won
know?
The. But I don't watch him up close like I do Chris Sale when he pitches. Like, I love watching Chris Sale pitch. Corey Kluber's breaking stuff is like one of those wiffle balls with the holes in them. That thing goes. Whoa.
I think that you might say he has the second most magical arm in Cleveland.
Behind Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn?
Johnny Football.
Johnny Football.
Still your guy. Oh, see? You have, he that's a,
he already has
he
forgot.
Already written him off.
Screw him.
Bandwagger.
Bandwagger.
No question.
He's good. The Indians struggling. Sox, Abreu on a 15-game hitting streak. You know, they need to get on track. Interesting game with the Cubs last night. I did not stay up to watch. I went to bed after Letterman. And that was a struggle to stay up there, but that was well worth it. We get to that during page two.
I did not
two.
See Letterman.
Letterman was outstanding. I want
to
talk about that. I want
to
talk about that. But the Cubs win a one-run game. Chris Bryant gets the sacrifice fly back home. Did you see the media mob surrounding him returning to San Diego?
People are all excited.
Yeah, it's great to see, and that's it's an exciting team. What's gotten into your guy Wada?
Tsuyoshi Wada, 4 2/3 innings, 9 punch-outs.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, and you are certainly the expert here, he did not finish last season, and you said, boy, he's a strikeout pitcher.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
So his debut for the 2015 season, he strikes out 9 in 4 2/3 innings. How do you explain that?
I can't. Now, he pitched pretty well in limited duty last year. Mm-hmm. I remember he beat the Orioles. I think that was the longest start he had. I think it was the only start that went farther than 6 innings. Right, Mike?
That was impressive, though.
And I remember the Orioles, when he beat him like 2-1, he pitched great. But and when they signed him to like a $4 million deal, you're like, really? $4 million for
Tsuyoshi Wada? I thought the same thing.
What he costs? A Wada costs $4 million? Tell you what. It's only one start,
and
but he looked
good. Do you think he bought post-game drinks with that credit card he found at third base?
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know.
Not only is Tsuyoshi Wada striking out Padre hitters left and right, he's playing good Samaritan. I'm not sure if this was a credit card or some sort of employee key card, but that was on the field as he walked off and handed it to the security guard.
How about that?
I'm going with the Visa.
Maybe that's a great
thank
commercial.
Thank you, Len, courtesy Len Casper on CSN.
Maybe it was from somebody's pregame activities on the field. They dropped their credit card. Maybe a reporter. Maybe that's, who knows? Maybe that's Patrick Mooney's Visa card that Wada was picking up on his way off the field. He was being a good Samaritan.
The kind of money TK Gore's paying over there, that
yeah, right.
Visa card's worth a lot of cash, pal.
So the past week has been an interesting – this whole season has been interesting for the Cubs, but we want to talk to Jed here in a second. But I want to get your thoughts on what they're doing with their rotation, their bullpen, and the Travis Wood move to the bullpen, and how that kind of translates moving forward, because what role is he going to play?
Travis Wood?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's been used before as a pinch hitter, a pinch runner.
Well, but that's not why he's on the team.
No. They'll try and use him, I think, as a setup guy.
What about a closer? I know that's the way they used him last, Friday? Or
correct.
Saturday?
Because Rondon had pitched a number of days in a row.
Does he have the kind of mentality, does he have the kind of stuff that you think he could be a three-out guy? Mentality,
yes. He's a bulldog.
Yes. Stuff?
I don't know. Plus, Hector Rondon's done nothing to be
out
of that role.
It's good to have a left-handed component.
And I like a guy who throws 99 as my closer. Rondon,
you trust him
upper 90s.
When things are going to get hairy in the pennant race, because this is going to be, pennant race is the word we use, but the race to the
high
playoffs.
High leverage situation.
You trust Rondon?
I do.
Really?
I do.
Based on? You think he's going to be the guy?
I do.
Because of his stuff?
Yeah. I think his stuff plays up here.
You can never have too many good arms, though, to rely on in the late innings. If Travis Wood becomes another one of them, Cubs are really making good use of that pitching
staff.
Their
bullpen actually looked good yesterday.
They did.
Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in an app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them, 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. It's Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com, ask for Steve Shapiro. Apt has been pleasing people since way back in 1936. Jed Hoyer, Cub General Manager, is next.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN+.
Cubs get it done last night. Good win out in San Diego. And the bullpen really stepped up after Tsuyoshi Wada strikes out 9 and 4 2/3, I believe. And they'll go back to work tonight. Holly and I will have the pre and the post for you over at CSN Plus. Jed Hoyer, kind enough to join us this morning. Jed, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Jed.
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. You guys have been exceptionally proactive in changing up the roster, making move after move. You traded Wellington Castillo. So here's my question for you. When you and Theo rewind your brain to a year ago, are you looking at the team right and going, I didn't see it coming this quick, or no, I actually thought we would be in the race on May 21st, 2015?
I think a year ago today, I probably would have said that it seemed a little quick. I feel like if you had asked me that question in September, I probably would have said it sounds accurate. I mean, I feel like the last months of last season were really when we kind of felt like, okay, the young guys might come a little quicker than we thought. We might be a little bit better than we thought quicker. So a year ago, no, I wouldn't have thought that. But some of these young guys, kids have played really well. And, I feel like the guys we brought in around them, like Fowler, and Montero, have really added a lot to the offense.
So how does that change your mindset, Jed, into how you're looking at the rest of the league and how you might look at acquiring pieces and filling holes and addressing needs that you think might have come quicker for a team in contention than maybe a team that is in more development mode? I thought you were pretty candid, even for you, that when you're talking about the Mets a week or so ago and talks with them and everything, and I know those are some conversations that are still been reported about, and I just, does it make you more aggressive mentally when you're this good this soon?
Well, I think all the moves we make are going to have to fit into kind of long-term context. I mean, we do have a ton of young talent. I mean, look at the age of our infield, the age of our team in general. Obviously, we really want to win this year, and you can never take for granted a season when you're playing well. We got a long way to go to get into late July. You know, we're at the we're at the quarter pole. We're not at the halfway pole yet. So I think that we got to keep playing well and stay healthy. But I think if we do, obviously, I think that we'll be looking to, you know, whatever moves make sense for the team. But I do think whatever we do, we'll look at it in terms of long term, because I think that, you know, we have a really bright future. This certainly is not a 2015 or bust thing. This is hopefully creating something that can last for a long time.
Jed, when you look at your team right now, Javi's starting to play back to form at AAA. Chris Bryant obviously has been just off the charts. Addison Russell has come faster. The last time we had you on, I said, maybe it was I was having you on the TV show. I said, what about Addison Russell next? You're like, relax. We just brought Chris up today. And then like a week later, Addison Russell's in the lineup, and he looks like he's going to be the long-term answer in your infield. How do you fit all these parts together?
Well, I mean, you know, the Russell situation certainly came a little bit faster than we thought. We had a bunch of injuries. You know, LaStella got hurt, which was a big injury, because I do think he complements our offense really well. And then, you know, Alcantara was struggling, and so, you know, we went with Russell at that moment. And I will say, you know, after the first five or six games, he's adjusted, you know, really well. I mean, he's such a great athlete. I think the survival skills he showed in the big leagues have been really, really fun to watch. And, you know, Javi, he's playing well. We really like every report we get from him in Iowa. I do think we want him to sort of lock in those changes, really work hard there. I keep on reading, you know, that Javi Baez watch and stuff like that. I feel like, you know, certainly he's down there and he's playing well, but let's get him on a roll. Let's get him locked in. You know, there's going to be an injury or something that's going to happen eventually that if he's playing well, he'll certainly be a great option for us. But I don't want to rush it right now, because I do feel like it's important, given what happened at the end of last year, that he really get on a nice roll.
So, Jed, obviously you're happy with Wada's debut last night. He gets in there and strikes out 9 4 2/3. Travis Wood goes to the bullpen. You've had some issues in the bullpen. You make the deal for Medina with trading Castillo over the weekend. How do you feel about your bullpen? How does Travis Wood fit into that equation?
Sure. Well, you know, the bullpen's been it's been a struggle all year. You know, I think we haven't gotten quite enough innings out of starters. I think that's put a lot of pressure on those guys. And, you know, guys have been inconsistent. You know, we've had some really public, obvious meltdowns, and that's been a problem. And, you know, I think we know that's an area that we're going to have to look to, you know, address over the course of the summer. And this is sort of the first step in doing that. And, you know, we really like Welly. You know, we carried three catchers, and I actually thought it went pretty well. There's, you know, some instances where it was probably a little bit balky from a roster management standpoint, but now we got to a point where we had a deal we liked, and we felt like, okay, you know, it's time to move away from three catchers and acquire another bullpen arm that we're excited about. So I think, you know, the bullpen's an area for a lot of teams you end up addressing in season because it is so volatile. And like I said, this is, you know, one step in that, but I'm sure that we'll continue to look at a lot of options in the bullpen and try to get to the point where we really, you know, candidly, it was last year at the end of the season, we had a real weapon of a bullpen, and that's the goal, is to get back to that point.
Talking to Jed Hoyer, Cubs general manager here on Cap and Haw, Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Jed, last 5 years you guys have been here. Now this is your fourth season. You would be in the skybox watching the games with Theo, and yeah, you're evaluating players, but wins and losses really didn't matter. You didn't go home at the end of the night and go, I cannot believe we lost that game, and now we're 18 out. It was just different. What is it like now for you, Theo, Tim Wilkin, Jason McLeod, to be sitting there watching a game? And you actually have butterflies in your stomach, I would imagine.
Yeah, so it's the feeling you want to have. I mean, it's almost unnatural sometimes when you're rebuilding, because you're so focused on individual performance. You want guys to develop and you want them to play well. And you obviously want to win. But as you said, when you're considerably out of the race and by the end of April, you know, you're not getting butterflies for every game. And I feel like now, you know, obviously I think we try to take a broad view of it. You try not to get too wrapped up in any one game. But of course, you know, you can't help but get excited about, you know, how the team's playing and potentially where we're going. And that's exactly the feeling you want to have. And I think it's the feeling that the fans want to have as well, because I think the fans have sort of taken that big picture view as well of, you know, focusing on the minor leagues and the minor league system. And, the performance of the young guys. And I think for them to go up and down with the team as they play night to night is exactly what they want. I think they're back to that point.
And, you know, Jed, you mentioned the fans and media too. They look at this team, you look at what's happened, and Joe Maddon is a guy that gets a lot of a credit for creating a culture and establishing a consistency and having the Cubs play pressure-free. There's a lot of people obviously having a lot of fun. Winning is fun, but as Sazi Gia said, fun is winning as well. How much from your vantage point, from your boss, you guys are the ones that hired him, how much is the Joe Maddon effect responsible for what's happening on the north side?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to separate out, you know, and kind of apportion credit, but I certainly, you know, think he's done a fantastic job with this team. Yeah, he knows what to expect from young players. I feel like, you know, we've had some nights that, you know, I mean, I thought Tuesday night was a good example. You know, we played really sloppy baseball. A lot of our young guys were part of that sloppiness, and you know, his perspective after the game was really good, and I think he was very eager to see how we played, you know, last night after that bad loss, and we came back with a win. He has a perspective from Tampa on what it's going to be like with young players. It can be very exciting some nights. It can be frustrating some nights. I think his comment was, you know, it's not going to be an oil painting every night. I think he keeps a great, you know, it's a great attitude. The team has a lot of fun, but I also think he knows what to expect. And I think someone that goes too far up and down with a young team would be hard on them. And I think he knows, like, hey, this is going to be really fun, really exciting, and probably maddening at times. And I think he's a perfect manager for that perspective.
All right, so be honest. When he first said to the media, yeah, we meatloafed him, did you look at Theo and go, what the hell is meatloafed him mean?
He comes up with stuff all the time. I mean, it's just that, I mean, listen, you know, I feel like the media should be paying us. You know, it's unbelievable. Like the things he says and how good he is with the media on a day-to-day basis and how entertaining. So we just sit back and enjoy it because it really is, you know, I think that when you have to meet with the media before and after every single game, I think a lot of managers get into the sort of the tedium of twice a day. And I feel like he always keeps it fresh and keeps it interesting. And he's candid. He's kind of, you know, tells the media how he feels, and he does it in a colorful way, and I think it's great.
All right, so I've always said that if I was ever blessed enough to be able to buy a pro team, I would want a coach who, yes, he's got to be able to be good at what he does, head coach, manager, whatever it is. He's got to be able to win games. But I do not want some vanilla, non-communicative guy. I want someone that sells my product to the casual fan. That's what Joe Maddon does. It's what Ozzie did when he won on the South Side. That's what Mike Ditka did for the Chicago Bears. I like a personality at the face of that franchise. Do you agree now, having hired a guy like this?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I feel like in baseball, probably more than other sports, like I said, you've got, you know, twice a day, you're the face of the franchise, you know, far more than almost anyone else. I mean, I think that the fans and the media, they see Joe, you know, multiple times more than they see, you know, Tom Ricketts or Theo or me or any of the players. They see him. And I think because of the way that our sport works, I think it is really important that person is, you know, a leader, that they're articulate, and that hopefully they're interesting, as you said, to the casual fan, because they are the person you see most often talking about the team.
Yeah, but I agree with you, Jed, and I think it's great for everybody who covers that team and the fans who consume what Joe Maddon says. It's a lot easier for people to enjoy him being entertaining when the Cubs are 22-17 here on May 21st. You've got to win, and that's the bottom line, because if not, you're going to be the most entertaining manager who was fired for being a sub-500 team.
No doubt. I mean, listen, this is, you know, we're playing the Padres, so my favorite Bud Black quote. I mean, every day is, you know, hey, this is the results business, and I think that you know, there's no question. No one wants to be entertained when the product is subpar. And I think Joe has, you know, obviously done a lot of winning. I think we're winning right now. I think we're going to win a lot in the future. So I think he's exactly the right face on it. But you're right. If you know. So the meatloaf comment is much less entertaining when you're 12 games under 500.
When you're being meatloafed.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Hey, before we let you go, you know, players have said, well, when management goes and makes a big move, whether that's John Lester, Joe Matt, it just sends a message to the rest of the team. These guys are trying. They've got our back. They're trying to do everything they can to help us win. Those are off-season moves. How important is it at some point prior to July 31 that Theo and Jed send a message to Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and Starlin Castro and whoever else? Guess what toy we just got for your team? Guess who's coming? Because we believe in you guys that you can accomplish something that people didn't think was possible.
That's a really hard dynamic because on the one hand, I think that people always talk about the kind of a jolt of excitement that a transaction brings to a team at the deadline. At the same time, it's also probably taking someone's job that's in that clubhouse. And so there is that delicate balance of the excitement of the team and also like someone losing a starting job most likely. But there's no doubt that, when you play for 6 months, when you have a chance to make the playoffs, I do think there's an excitement that comes with making a move and showing your support of the team. You also have to be really careful because I think a lot of mistakes can be made if you sort of make a move just to make a move. That can kind of wear off by August 7th, and now all of a sudden you're sort of back to where you are. So I do think you have to make the right move. It has to be targeted well. But there's no question players and the coaching staff, I think they're playing GM along with everyone else, saying this is the area we can improve, and they're kind of looking at you to do that move.
Thanks, Jed. Enjoy the Padres series and appreciate all your time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Talk to you soon. There he is, Jed Hoyer, general manager of the Chicago Cubs. Interesting stuff. Not Russian Javi.
No.
I don't think so. Go on Twitter and punch in Javi Baez, and every article is he's pushing. He's right there. Are they going to make the recall? He said, just relax.
And, we have to focus on Joe Maddon because he is such a dominant personality, and he has been fun to follow. We pay attention to John Lester because of the contract. They've got to enjoy the sort of the second tier type signings that they made. And these are top tier players. Montero, Dexter Fowler, Jason Hamill. These are guys who they went out and got in the offseason that have been paying off in a big way.
Huge.
That you don't really hear as much about. Huge. Because of the focus on everybody else.
Huge. We'll see.
It's a fun start.
If they stay healthy and hang in this thing, you've got to think there'll be more help coming.
Let's switch gears real quick for Bulls when we get back.
Done. Mark Carmen with an interesting article yesterday. A lot to talk about. 312-235-2525. It's Cap'n Haw. Tweet at us at Cap'n Haw or text us 312-235-2525. Be right back.